Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called, Are You Open to Receiving the Things You Desire? So today I've got a lot of things to cover, kind of all over the bend as per usual, but the first thing I want to do is start off with a little bit of a story. So here we go, guys, and thanks for joining today. Okay, so heavy heart today. Last week, I recorded, I want to say, maybe it was last Friday. I think it was Friday that I did my recordings for, typically I record on Tuesdays, but I think I told you guys what happened with Lenny and losing that episode and the whole thing. Anyway, so on Friday after I lost that, I re-recorded a new one, not on my typical day. So that's why I didn't mention this last week. But so what happened was, New Hampshire got rocked with snowstorms. Last week we had on Wednesday, so not this past week, but the week before that, we had on that Wednesday, real bad storm. It was rocking me all over the highway. I think I might've talked about that on the last podcast, but followed up by Saturday morning, I woke up to 2.5 feet of snow at my front door. 2.5 feet. I mean, it didn't even seem real because we had green grass the night before. And then we just got walloped. And on top of getting a hard snowfall, the winds were pushing these drifts that were so high. I kid you not, it was well over my waist. When I opened the front door, my dog looked at me like, I'm not going out there. And so, you know, I fully agreed. And then made my way down through the garage, had to shovel out just to get a little path enough for him to relieve himself to begin the day. But my kids had a basketball tournament, and I was faced with, like, wow, I've got a lot to handle in a very little bit of time. And luckily for good friends, let me just say, I had a friend come and plow me out, and he's amazing and always takes care of our family, very selfless person. And, but that's not even the part of the story I wanted to share with you. So going back to when I was in sixth grade, I'll never forget this kid. His name was John, and I don't even remember his last name anymore. I just vaguely remember the story even because I was in sixth grade, but he went to bed that night like we all did. We had a big snowstorm next morning. They didn't even cancel school because by then I think everybody had sort of, you know, shoveled out and made, I mean, in New Hampshire, you can get rocked with a storm and still have school the next morning. It's just kind of the way. Because we all are used to it. We all know how to drive in it by now. The plows are pretty on top of clearing the way. Anyway, I just remember the morning announcements, them saying that his mom, dad, and himself, I can't remember if there was a sibling. I just remember, I think it was just the three of them, went to bed the night before, never woke up in the morning. And what happened is a really scary thing that can happen in New Hampshire very easily, which is, we have exhaust vents on our homes so that carbon monoxide can be eliminated from the house. And in these big storms, especially like the one we just had, the drifts and the snowbanks and just the mere accumulation can lead to those getting blocked. And so they died peacefully in their sleep, but because that exhaust vent was covered, and so they were breathing in carbon monoxide as they slept, so they never woke up. And I remember thinking, even at that young age, like, how sad is this? You know, you just go to bed and you just expect to wake up in the morning. And you just never know, right? Life is so precious. But like, why? You know, what good came out of this family's death? And last weekend, I was reminded of how big the picture is and how little things like that affect things for years to come. Those ripple effects can affect people far into the future. My family has their lives to thank for still being here, because if that story hadn't still been in my mind to this day, when I got up in the morning and I went outside, it occurred to me with how high the snow was, his family story. And I immediately went to the back of the house, which is hilarious because it was like, I mean, it was up so high. It was like just beneath, like, you know, your chest level. And I'm trudging back there. I mean, your boots are useless, right? Because it's like, you're just going to be covered in snow. out. I don't even think I had a jacket on at that point. And I saw that that vent was fully covered, feet above it. And usually I don't even necessarily think to do it every storm. I get a little lazy with it because there's heat produced somehow, I think, or the carbon monoxide that's coming out with the air pressure or whatever it is, it tends to like melt it down a little bit. So like usually within a foot of it is all melted and there's really nothing to do but check it every time, you know? And just because of those drifts, I thought, ooh, I should check before we go. And to see how much it was covered, it was a matter of time until our family felt the effects. And if we had been gone at the basketball, you know, my dog easily would have died. And the carbon monoxide monitors that you have in your house, guys, check the batteries on them. And like, I don't think ours is located in our basement. And I'm not so sure how beneficial that really is to the overall, because it wasn't going off, but we were fully covered. And I don't know how long that had been the circumstance. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that that was the first hit, like to me emotionally a little bit over the weekend of like, wow. You know, when people talk about there's just no sense when these young people die, then it's a senseless act of God. You know, there's no explaining your way out of it. Don't try to convince me this was for a reason. And then something like that happens. Oh, man. So that was the first thing. And then fast forward to Sunday. And when I got up, or so maybe Saturday, you know what? I don't even know whether that was Saturday or Sunday at this point. I just know Sunday when we had to travel yet again down south and head into the storm on the interstate, I was thinking the whole time, this is dangerous. You know, there's cars everywhere, flipped over, spun around, piled up. Everywhere you look, there was accidents. And we got safely where we were going. We, on the way home, I just remember again thinking, we're like a second away from one other person's bad decision leading to our death. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I'm in control of myself and my own car to a degree. I mean, there's only so much control you can have when you hit ice and some of the weather that we faced. But all it takes is one other person to not make a good choice. You know, then there was people in front of us that would slam on their brakes and you don't have a choice but to respond in a way that you know might not be the safest thing in the weather. So, you know, I was a little on the edge of my seat the whole way home. And got there safely and tucked my babies into bed. And then I got a text that said, everybody okay? And it was a friend text chain. I don't know, maybe 10 of us in there. And there was just an accident. And the location of it was literally right in the, like right outside my house. And we had just come through there, you know? This is at 6:30 at night, and they said there was just a car accident, and it was an elderly couple. I think they're both 86 or 87 years old. And then there was a car full of three kids. One of them was 18 years old. The driver was 19 years old. And then the other passenger was 13, which was a classmate of my son's. And the cars collided, and the 18-year-old girl died instantly or on the scene. And then I want to say three of the four people involved ended up having to get airlifted to Boston. And we still don't know what's going on or how they're doing. They're really keeping quiet about it, understandably. Everyone was in pretty rough shape. So, oh, heavy heart on this one. For me, it was like, first off, you know, you kiss your kids a little harder, hug them a little tighter, thank God a little bit more deeply that night, and know just how fragile life is. The girl that lost her life's name was Hannah Shagno, and I just want to sort of dedicate this episode to her because I have no doubt her loss, one, it's not going to be forgotten in our town, but also the way she's touched and impacted so many people with this story, it inevitably is going to save a life. I have no doubt. Like my oldest son, who's getting close to learning how to drive, he's not going to forget this story. It's something he keeps talking about how, like when I'm driving now, his awareness of just how fragile I think that all of this is when we're in those storms and being more careful, going a little slower, like he's almost like prompting me to respond better now. So I know he's already had an effect. And so sometimes these stories, like, I just want it to be told so that people don't forget about her, for one, but also, you know, how even when we want to fight for the fact that things that happen to young children and things that happen at times are just meaningless, I understand where that comes from, because nobody wants to find meaning in things that are hard to swallow, you know, but there's people like me every day who notice that drift and shovel out their carbon monoxide because somebody, you know, seamlessly, meaninglessly lost their lives all those years ago. And yet still that effect is saving lives today. So that was like a really long 10-minute spiel, but it had to happen. It was really important to me to make sure that I got that message out and just kind of let you guys know how our little town was rocked over the past week with like a lot of stuff happening. But yeah, it's been a week. I mean, everybody's probably going through it right now with tax time if you're watching this in real time or listening to this in real time. And so many other things that are all happening. I know at least for me, my business annual reports are due and all this stuff. And sometimes we get carried away with this stuff and it's easy to sort of forget to just kind of sit back and take things in a little bit. You know, when we get busy with the whole do, and we just sometimes forget to like look at the larger picture, the bigger picture at play. So back to today's topic. Are you open to receiving the things that you desire? I thought, yes, of course. And then I had an encounter with Mr. Perfect on paper. And I just got to tell you guys how this played out, because this was a really interesting scenario. So when we talk about like healing and where we're at with our self-growth and all this stuff, people are always very quick to be like, oh yeah, I've done the work. I'm good. You know, feeling very, not self-righteous, but you know, we feel like we've done our stuff and we're pretty well balanced. If not, if we saw a problem within ourselves, we would have fixed it by now, right? So here I am thinking that, well, one, for those of you who followed my story, having lost my husband 3 years ago, I have opened myself back up to love. Or so I say. And I thought, you know, if anything, I tend to feel sometimes like I'm a magnet for people who are not ready for a commitment. And I feel like I am ready. Well, we know by just all of my different podcast topics, you know, I say this all the time, we attract what we are. And if I am attracting non-committal types or people who aren't in a good timing in their lives for commitment or whatever, the right person, but the wrong time situation over and over, then it's about me, you know? And so as much as I'm like, no, I want this, I recognized myself that I am not all of that healed, I don't believe, in that way of being open. You know what I mean? Like, this person was basically trying to find out what I was doing later that night, and I'm a little oblivious anyway when it comes to that stuff and don't even pick up on hints or things. But I was going on about how I'm moving. This wasn't out of the blue. We were discussing like where we lived and whatnot. But the first things out of my mouth were how I'm basically not going to be here for long. I'm moving. Without even knowing what I was saying. And then by the time I recognized what I had just said, I was like, why did I do that? It was like my own, it was my own boundaries that I have up that are obviously pretty firm and strong and unavailable, right? Unavailable for commitment. So why do you think I get what I am? Because it's what I exude. I don't even try. It's just there is a invisible force field around me at times. And there's a lot of, you know, trauma and past stories and stuff that apparently I've held on to and not let go of. So that was a funny little eye-opening experience that I feel like the universe threw in my path just to kind of point out to me, like, stop pointing at us like we're the problem here. You need to do more of your own work. And so that's when you go back to the drawing board of healing and start digging even deeper. You know, you got to look at the layers of yourself and say, where does this come from? This is another thought, by the way. I have to mention this on communication because it came to me this, I don't know, past week, I guess, when I've been seeing some of these like reality shows. Have you ever watched one of those? And they show this argument between people and it's just like yelling and getting nowhere. And then they do these little like side interviews with each person individually. When it's just them and like the camera, all of a sudden they are like explaining their thoughts so perfectly and clearly. And I just keep thinking, what the, like, why is it when they then get removed from the situation and independently one-on-one, they're just sitting there, them and the cameraman or whatever, talking to themselves basically in an interview process. And all of a sudden they're making a lot of sense. It's like, I couldn't understand what they're arguing for nothing. I don't understand their point. They're not getting anything through to their partner. Then they get alone and all of a sudden they so eloquently like explain themselves. And I'm like, well, if you had just said that to your partner, do you know how smoothly that would have gone? And I don't even think a fight would have ensued. What is going on with this? Like, why are we holding our own truths so close and not just communicating to the other person? And so this sounds like it's a totally separate thing from what I was just explaining about, you know, our own healing work and when we think that we've sort of, you know, that we are healed or whatever another time, and then you realize, oh my gosh, I'm not. It kind of goes along with that because a lot of people think that they're good communicators and they might be communicating it super clearly. They feel like they've said it a million times. My guess is they've never clearly communicated it to the right person. Like they might feel like they've said it 100 times, but probably because they mentioned it to their friends, they said it to, you know, their family member, they said it to the cameras in an interview, whatever it is, they feel like they've said it a million times. They might have spoken it to themselves a million times. They might have thought it a million times, but actually communicating it to the one person who it could affect the relationship and improve things, they probably haven't done it at all. That's the crazy part. Like, really think about, have you said it to the right person? Have you tried to communicate this clearly and calmly? I think that's part of it, because when you're in the heated moment, things don't just come out the way you want them to. And then when you have time, you've been removed, and these people are sitting quietly in an interview, I think they've had time to internalize and reflect and do healthy healing work around it to understand where their point of view is coming from. And then they come out and they say this beautiful thing, and it's just not going to benefit the problem. Nobody's actually hearing it who needs to hear it. So that's why I brought that up. And so knowing your weaknesses and recognizing that they are weaknesses are two very different things. So, you know, I always say that you can only heal it if you recognize that it needs healing, the whole reveal it to heal it thing. That I always say, but it goes deeper than that. You have to recognize it. Like, do you think it's a part of your personality to be withdrawn, private, closed off? Like, if you just think these are personality traits and you're not really recognizing that these are unhealed behaviors and patterns, so really recognizing that it's not just that, it's just not who you are, but it's something that needs healing, then it's really not going to get healed. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the reveal it to heal it, yes, but it goes just that step further of like, yeah, you've shown it, you've brought it to the surface, but then like, are you seeing it for what it is? Are you seeing it as a personal weakness that needs some work? You know, whether it be that you're not a good communicator. I mean, you could just say that, like, I'm a poor communicator, or you could recognize that, no, this isn't my personality trait. This is an area needing work. I need to work on this. I need to figure out how to speak how I'm feeling more clearly to the person that it matters to. That's when the work is being done, right? So another question that I have for you guys is your inner critic so loud that you're constantly having to have your self-confidence scream to overcome it? Because I know I talked about this just a couple episodes ago about people with their self-criticism and people that were talking to me about wanting to get back out in the dating world, not feeling 100% like the best version of themselves. But is that inner critic sort of starting to take over, and then you're having to put on this sort of air of confidence that's not really, you know, it's not really who you are. You're not really this confident person. You're actually feeling quite insecure, but you're like really sort of like projecting out, I am the most confident person ever, because it's having to scream out to try to quiet down the noise of that inner critic. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it could very well be that that is why some people come off kind of cocky and kind of full of themselves. And it could very well be because of that inside critic and that internal dialogue of not being enough, not being worthy, worried about whether you are. And then it comes out as acting as if you're not so loudly, that that's what people see. And it's actually quite the opposite, that you're not full of yourself, that you're not boastful. You're just coming out that way because you're not wanting, you're trying to sort of shelter or protect this part of you that feels like a target, you know? But all of this stuff, like I'm just bringing out all of these different things that happen within people that can sometimes really get in the way of the personal growth part. So when we're trying to reveal it, we got to look at some of these things and say, do I do that? It's usually whatever at your core. I'm just bringing up like the confidence thing because it's something I've been working with some clients on with my hypnosis stuff this week. But so it could go with any personality trait though. Whatever you might be at your core, whatever you might feel like you are on some level, it's usually the opposite that gets projected out to the world because we're trying to mask it and cover it up. So, you know, if you're finding yourself coming across really insensitive, it might be that you're super sensitive. If you're coming off to people like, you know, you are like the loudest person in the room, it could be because you feel like you've never had a voice in things. So you find yourself like, you know what I mean? Going to these extreme measures. So when we're trying to work on like what areas do I need to be working on, personal growth areas, you know, look at some of your worst qualities or the things that people tend to see or, you know, notice about you as personality traits, and then examine it a little more and be like, where's that come from? You know? Okay, real quick break, guys, and then I'll be right back. I've got more to say. My hypnosis sessions got released this week, and the results are already phenomenal. I'm so excited. My very first client was so fun, and I know she's going to listen to this podcast and it'll make her smile. But when she gave me a list of the things she wanted to accomplish, I wasn't so sure. I put a little bit of a, I even said to her, this is about three different, not sessions worth, because every one of my packages comes with three sessions, but like three of those packages of three sessions is what I thought it was going to take to accomplish everything. But what we discovered inside was there was a thread, an underlying thread that was really affecting all of the things for her. And by just addressing that one thing, already having big results. So very exciting. And I want this for all of you. So if you have anything that you want healed in your life, that you want help with at the subconscious level, you want to change the inner messaging that's going on in the background, everything in there from love, relationship, self-confidence, procrastination, you name it. You can even come up with your own custom session if you want to. So whatever it is that you want to work on, I would love to see you guys inside there. I'll drop the link to my website where you can purchase sessions if you are interested. And right now I still have times available. So hopefully it's something that I will see you on the other side of, because it is very exciting to see results that can happen in a very short time frame. So when you're talking about big impacts to your life with little time dedication, nothing more exciting than that to me. And you know, I'm all about self-improvement. So right back to the show, guys. All right, let's play with our inner argument for a second. When you come up with an idea, what do you tell yourself? You know, like what's the thing that sort of stops you from doing it? Or what's the next message that kind of just plays out in your head? When you get turned down from a job, what do you believe about yourself? When you get broken up with or cheated on, or someone walks away from you, do you think that you were the cause? If she treats you badly or fails to communicate, what story do you tell yourself? And why am I asking this? Because it's the story you fill in after the letdown that'll lead to your healing. It exposes your fears and your insecurities and all the limiting beliefs, right? Because let's face it, hurt people hurt people. We know this. It's not about you. But if what you're saying is like somebody cheated on you and the message that you fill in the blank with after that is because I wasn't doing something for them, I wasn't fulfilling some need for them, so they went and found it elsewhere. Now we know what the limiting belief is that we need to fix within you. You know what I'm saying? If you believe that you didn't get the job because you don't have the experience and other people are going to be more qualified than you, that's what we need to fix. None of these things are truths, you know? They're just not. I mean, magical things and, you know, big wins happen to people every single day. but we will fill in a story based upon our own experiences. And not, you know, what's funny is we'll often have experiences to both sides of it, like that an underachiever or that a person who doesn't have all the degrees can have this big success. And we'll also have in our past memory that if you don't have the degrees, you're not going to get the job. And yet the story that comes out defends your not being enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's in there. It's in your subconscious. You know, on some level, that it happens all the time to people who don't have the degree, who don't have all the experience. They still get the lucky break. That's what we end up calling it. Thinking, again, another limiting belief, thinking that it's available only to the few. Only a few people will get lucky enough to be able to make it that far without the degree and the experience. So it's whatever you fill in after. That's the part when I'm talking about, like, revealing this stuff to heal it, to getting to a place of, you know, really healing things and not just brushing it under the rug or calling it a personality trait. This is an easier way to sort of see what is it? What is the story I'm telling? You know, what do I fill in the blank with after I say that sentence of this didn't work out for me because, and what do you think it is? So sometimes just taking the time to sit and look at it and hear yourself out loud. What have you told yourself? Like, why didn't that come together? Why didn't it work in your favor? You know, oh, it was just poor timing. Oh, okay. So you think that the divine timing of things happening in your life are not happening for you, for your benefit? That's what I would question. You know, because a lot of people just say, you know, that this is just not the good time. This isn't the right time for things to come together, because that's the quick, easy explanation as to why it didn't work out. And so again, it's just you're not having faith in the timing of things and knowing that it's all coming together in the right time. It was meant to happen in this timing. Maybe there was a lesson you were meant to learn. You know, dig a little bit deeper on a lot of that. And so the real question of today's podcast is, are you open to receiving the things you desire? We will often be like, of course I am. I desire it, so I want it. I'm here to receive it. I've been ready, arms wide open. But the real reality is you're saying, yes, I want it, and your fists are still fully clenched. You know, you have not really opened up in a receivership position to accept it into your world. And when it shows up, I think a lot of the times we're so surprised and taken aback by it that our response, well, it's like me. I would say, like, I just want a healthy situation where somebody is, like, you know, in the right timing, ready, available, whatever. And for whatever reason, it's not what I tend to draw in. And then boom, it shows up at my door. And what do? I put an arm out. Actually, I put states out. I literally said I'm going to be on a different, like, across an ocean. I'm not even going to be living here. Like, I literally tried to just block it off from myself to protect myself, because why would I want to show up again to be let down? So my knee-jerk reaction is to sort of cut somebody else off before they can walk away or choose it's not for them. That's what I tend to do as a protective mechanism quite often, is that, like, it's easier for me to just walk before they walk, you know? And then there's people who have, like, abandonment fears and stuff. And so what do? The second somebody gets close, you know, they feel like they're always abandoned, that people always turn their back on them. So what do? And when people start to get close, they'll say things that are kind of nasty, or they'll do things that it protects them. It's like, it's almost like one of two things is going on there. It's either a self-fulfilling prophecy of, like, I'm going to push this person to the point where they leave so I can be right. And look, everybody always leaves me. Or sometimes it is like they are seeing people getting close, and so it's their response that basically pushes people, like, you push somebody away and say no. It's like the non-committal types, you know, can't do it, because they're, again, putting it out there before the person can walk away from them. They're walking away from the person. It's a self-protection thing. So all of these things that we do, it's our own way of just trying to control the situation and try to really not lose control, because losing control can feel scary. And what we know about our bodies and the way they work and cortisol is that when our body starts to sense new and different, it will reject it at all costs. If it's something that's an unknown thing, our body's go-to is, oh no, that could really harm me emotionally, physically, whatever it is. And because of that, I'm going to not move towards that. I am going to stay in the safety zone, you know? So we have all of these different actions that we've created in our lives to try to make sure that if anything comes close to feeling like that familiar feeling we hated in the past of being neglected, of being hurt, of being, you know, all in and having someone else not be all in, of whatever it is. And your body goes, well, there's that. I recognize this. As soon as this feeling starts to come up, it's going to lead to this, which is going to lead to that. Turn and go the other way. And so it's not healthy. And we got to figure out what it is that for us is the trigger of it. What is the thing that we really are at our core so worried about having happen to us again, so worried about, or maybe it's never even happened. You just feel like you've seen it happen to other people. But regardless, like, what is that inner fear? What's the thing, you know? And so that's what's going to keep you from whatever it is. And I love when things like, you know, this weekend happened, or not this weekend, but just last night, happened to me, where somebody literally is like literally trying to give me exactly what I said I wanted. And I was so oblivious that I didn't even hear it, want it, know it, see it, recognize it. Like, I was just didn't even get it. It was going on and on having this conversation. And at a certain point, I just kind of stopped myself and was like, wow, I quite literally just turned my back on what I said I desired. And I did it in a very final way. Like, talk about, like, if you want to protect yourself, nothing like telling somebody that, like, there will be miles between us. And what was the other thing? I wish I could remember what the other thing was he said. But I instantaneously had, like, it was about what I like to do for fun or something. And I was like, not, what's the word that I'm looking for? Like, just kind of tearing myself down a little bit about, like, I don't know. I just made up stories. Like, I literally just said whatever to make it sound like, no, 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 not interested. It was like, whatever it was he suggested that he liked to do, I was immediately like, no, not me. That's so not the, like, I wish you guys could have just been like a fly in the wall to watch the conversation, because it was really funny. Still, like, there was really good exchange of, like, it was a positive conversation, surprisingly, despite me. But I was just like, I couldn't have thrown a bigger boulder between this person and me. I was just, no matter what he said, no matter which way angle he tried to come at it, I had something else to say that was going to create this humongous barrier, you know? Tonight won't work. I don't like doing what you like doing. There's going to be a ton of distance between us. What other messaging did I say? I mean, I quite literally couldn't have tried to make myself sound like a less available or anything, like a good offer at all. Like, there's nothing that I was just firmly in, and it was happening subconsciously. I didn't think, like, I wasn't purposely trying to dodge this person, but I did. Not once, not twice, but probably at least 3 or 4 times. And, I mean, yeah, he kept coming back and giving me another opportunity to fix it. And I couldn't do it. I dug myself deeper instead. So observing myself, and like, especially when I take myself out of it now and look at it, I can laugh at it, because I know myself well enough to know that it's because I'm exhausted. Like, it's exhausting, all of it. And emotionally, I'm clearly a little shut off. I am not as healed as I like to say I am. You know, it's funny. A lot of people will say, but you do this podcast, you say this or that. And I'm okay, but we're all growing. And I am grown enough to know I am not fully grown. Nobody is. We're always evolving. We are always working on ourselves. And anybody who wants to stand in it and say like that they're at the finish line of their own self-growth and now I'm ready for it, like then you are not ready for it. You don't have to be whole. I know I've talked about this before. That whole thing of being whole first is not a real thing. We're always growing. But you do need to be healthy. And I think that the awareness around the parts of you that still need work is a big piece of that, you know? And so I definitely am somebody who asks God and universe for the things that I want. And this isn't just relationship talk. This is financially speaking. This is like in areas of business growth and all these things. But I also recognize in myself that I ask for it and I keep my hands held tight and I don't receive it. It's always knocking at my door and I don't open my hand up. If any of you have noticed, I continue to still do my own sponsorships on this. I don't make money on this podcast. I pay for it. I don't receive money for it. And that's that is me doing that. That's not, I can't find anybody. I've never tried. Now, initially I kind of hid behind the whole, like, you know, I just want to get it out there, the word out there. I want to make it like more fun to listen to where they don't have to listen to all these ads and what are all the stories that I made up. But at this point, yeah, it would make sense to make money on something that I spend my time and energy to do, but I still don't. And I actually have people in my life who would happily sponsor it with their business ad running. And I've never asked. And this is like, the reason I'm bringing this up is it really highlights how, as much as anybody, if you asked them and you said, would you like to make more money, would say, yeah, of course I would. But I am not open to receiving it because I say it, but I don't take the steps I know that I need to do to make it. There are a million things. I don't advertise. I have like 8,000 people I could be advertising to between emails and Facebook groups and all these things. And I don't advertise right now. I don't advertise anything I do other than this podcast, mentioning it one time at the halfway point. That's it. That is my advertising. And so I know my business could drum up more, way more. I just don't take those steps. And why? Because I've done the work. I can tell you, I already know the why. It's because there is a level of when you've hit a level of success, what it takes to be able to continue and maintain that. Like I would have to hire other people because I know how busy I would become that I will have to then have employees. And I'm not really wanting to have employees right now. I'm not wanting to have to, you know, be doing payrolls and all these things. I like the size of my business. And so, could I be more successful? Absolutely. But I recognize the why I'm not doing it because of the fear base around growth for me and what it means to how it will take more time for me, the new things I'll have to learn, the other people I'll be responsible for, and making sure that, you know, I'm providing them with good healthcare and all the, you know, all the things. Like I know why I haven't done what I need to do to make more money. So if you really look at it and you're really honest about it, I think you could probably see pretty clearly like the reasons why you put these barriers up. Just a quick apology. My dog's going bananas because our neighbor's down playing with my kids. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to go grab him. Well, this is hilarious. I know what he was barking at now. They're out there. They put a trike kind of thing at the top of our walkway up by the front door of our house. And they're riding it through like glare ice and snow and whatever else debris is out there sailing across the driveway into the woods and like purposely crashing it. So it's got him all in a tizzy because he thinks they're going to get hurt. But anyway, so back to the receivership, guys. If you know it's something you want, you have to get right with accepting everything that comes with it. You know, if you want to make more money, you got to get right with being able to accept all the additional responsibility that comes along with that. If you're saying you want love, you have to be open to receiving everything that comes along with it, like the potential for being hurt, like the potential for happiness, like the potential for a lot of unknowns and a little releasing of control. Do you see where I'm going? Like, whatever the thing is that really's got you worried, you gotta be able to get right with that before you can ask for the thing, or just be okay with not ever having the thing, you know? Because it's a scale. You gotta know what outweighs what. And if the work that goes along with making the more money in your book is just not worth the additional money you'd make, then be happy with the money you make, you know? And if you know that that fear of getting hurt again by far outweighs any benefit love could bring into your life, then you're right to not go for it. But if, on the other hand, you know that being in a great relationship has so much more to offer, then you let go of the worries and the fears of the what ifs and what could happen to your heart, and you just trust. You know, so receivership is a tough one because most people think they're really good at it. And the interesting part is when you look at energy, women, and now, I mean, let's think anatomically for a second, because I'm trying to keep this not an explicit episode, but just think about the way our bodies are made. Women are meant to receive. So energetically speaking, when you're more in your feminine energy, it's more about receiving. And for men, I shouldn't say men, I'm sorry, I take that back. For masculine energy, it's more about the giving. So sometimes, especially for men, you'll have to work hard to tap into that feminine energy because we all have a balance. We should have an equal balance in ourselves of our masculine and feminine energies if we're a healed person. And you got to find a way to get in touch with that more feminine aspect of receivership in order to be more of a balanced person. And that's about opening up the heart space. It's about being able to receive. And for a lot of women, you're going to find the struggle with the other side of things, of the taking control and these masculine energy qualities. So maybe you're really good at receiving. Maybe you're fine with getting and receiving, but you're not necessarily fine with taking some action steps in order to get what you want. Maybe you're just sitting back and waiting for it to arrive, and that's not going to happen. It's not going to drop on your doorstep unless you ramp up your masculine energy a bit, you know, and you put yourself out there and you take some steps that are going to move you towards what you desire. Not like me. Don't take any advice from me. Not like standing in your own way and saying you want it, right? Like when it shows right up at your feet. So, so I don't want anybody to forget about Hannah Shagno, and I don't want the stories to be forgotten about, you know, these kids and the people that lose their lives, and it's not for nothing. I just want to remind everybody, when your loved one passes and you're so angry and it feels like a senseless thing, their story will live on in somebody's mind and save somebody else's life someday. I'm sure of it, you know, and somebody might be arguing this with me right now and saying, yeah, but what makes their life more special than my babies or my, you know, my girlfriends or my whatever. And honestly, it's not a numbers game. You know, I could say, well, they saved three people to their one. It's not that. It's that we're all part of this sort of tapestry here, and we're all contributing to this life, and we never know what somebody else's life still hasn't contributed, you know? And they might just need to still be here a little longer to be able to do their part in that. And it could be just that simple. It still all feels senseless. I know that. And I also have complete faith that someday when we can see it from that higher overview, we're going to get it. But today, let's just say a little prayer for the people that you love that are still there to give a hug to, who you can still tuck in at night, who you can still, you know, express these emotions. My gosh, communicate, people. You know, don't just brush that off and think it's a conversation that can be had later, or, you know, love that can be expressed at another time, or any of that stuff. Don't let that messaging mess you up, because, you know, these people, they didn't get to say that last conversation with their baby girl. So whatever it is, find your way to the healing and the communication and all the stuff, so that we're not living with regrets, you know. And I'm just happy that you all are still listening to me, still following, forever grateful. Keep downloading and letting friends know. And remember, if you do end up finding that you want a little subconscious healing and you want to try out my hypnosis sessions, just look in today's description and grab that link and you'll find out more about it. All right, guys, see you next week.